Today on Real Radio.
If your God is a God of love, then how come? Right? Fill in the blank. Wait a minute. My comeback is this. My God is a God of love, but this world around us is a world that doesn't want His love. This is what happens when man rejects God. That's what's happening in the world.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his verse-by-verse series through 1 Samuel. We all want to know what God's will is, right? I mean, how many times have we had that discussion with ourselves and other people? And recently here on Real Radio, we discussed just that while examining an earlier chapter, The Will of God in Your Life. Well, now we're going to dig a little deeper and address our response to God's will. It's a look at 1 Samuel chapter 12 and a lesson called, quite simply, Responding to God's Will. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
And in 1 Samuel 12, in this chapter, we're talking about responding to God's will in your life. Responding to God's will. In chapter 10 of this great book, we studied about knowing the will of God for your life. Chapter 10. In chapter 11, we talked about confirming God's will in your life, and we saw that, how there was that great challenge, that war that was there, where Nahash, remember what his name was all about? Nahash, the one who's a type of Satan, came to attack the people of God, and God confirmed his will in calling Saul to be Israel's king. You know that the people asked for a king. Chapter 10, as we looked at, was, remember, Saul's donkeys being lost, and we thought, how can God use donkeys being lost? Well, God used that to reveal that we might know His will. By the battle, chapter 11, confirming His will. And here in chapter 12, we respond to God's will in our lives. God wants us to experience Him and respond to Him. There's nothing more depressing than to have a relationship where one person is doing all of the responding, all of the acting, all of the livelihood of that union, and the other person not. I can't think of a more pathetic marriage. I can't think of a more pathetic business venture than to have one partner that does all the work and the other one does nothing. Or to have a marriage to where one person is the one that just gives and gives and gives while the other person just sits there. You call that a marriage, that where one person just sits there while the other person just caters to them? And I'm trying to change it because there's young ears in here. But he talked about how there's like the flower and the little bee that flies around and flies around, you know, trying to pollinate that flower as it just sits there. There's relationships like that. God doesn't want that relationship with us, that we're just, we just sit here. Okay, God. And we've got God dressed up like with a Santa Claus hat on. Come on, God, aren't you supposed to do this? You're supposed to, you know, give me all the money. You're supposed to give me all my health. You're supposed to find that job for me. God, you're supposed to take care of this. God, my grades. What are you doing with my grades, God? And we look to Him like He's a Santa. We are to call upon God. We are to reach out for Him. That takes, though, action. It takes movement on our part. God wants a relationship with us. Why? He is a responsive God. He's always talking. He's always listening. But if one side of that relationship is dead and dormant, how pathetic. In fact, is that a relationship at all? I don't think so. God wants you and I to have a lively relationship with Him. He wants us to respond to His will. And in chapter 12, that's what it's all about. In your notes, jot this down. In John chapter 6, verse 40, John 6:40, the Bible says, "For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in Him shall have eternal life." We know that God's will, and responding to God's will, is that people be saved. We can pray in confidence for the salvation of someone. And we need to do that. In our prayer meeting before service, many of you were praying. Many of you stood up and received prayer for a father or a mom who doesn't know Christ. It's God's will that your mom and dad know Christ, that they get saved. We can pray with confidence. In 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3, another verse about God's will is that, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification." God wants you and I to be different than the world. The world outside this room right now is out there getting loaded. They're getting cocaine stuffed up their nose. They're dropping acid, shooting up, diving into sex, trying to find something to make, you know, this life worth living in some way, shape, or form. And we who have been Christians for a long time look back and say, "Oh man, what's wrong with those people?" Wait a minute. Remember where you and I were before we got saved? We were dropping acid, shooting up, whatever we were doing, involved in sex, whatever, because our life was empty. And God says, "Wait a minute, this is my will. My will is that you might be saved, and my will is this, that you might be sanctified, that is set apart from the world." Why? Because the world is going to hell, and the world is sick, the world is dying, the world's got diseases, the world is at war. And God says, "I've got something better," over and over again. And haven't you been hearing it for these last few months? If your God is a God of love, then how come... Right? Fill in the blank. Wait a minute. My comeback is this. My God is a God of love, but this world around us is a world that doesn't want His love. This is what happens when man rejects God. That's what's happening in the world. Why is there so much evil in the world? You want to know why? Because man is stubborn and not willing to bow his knee to God. That's why there's so much evil in the world. Let's start putting blame where blame is due. It's our flesh. It's this world system, and it's Satan at work. I take great pleasure in telling people this world is not the world that God intends. His world is coming, and I'm going to be a part of it. And I hope you are too. Again, in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, the scripture there says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Oh man, you need that on your dashboard of your car or in your office. You need that in your house. Every student should have that on their book. "In everything, give thanks." Oh man, things happen in life. God, is this your will for my life? The answer is yeah. So you need to infuse Him right in the middle of it. What is going on in your life? God is very much in that. Several things we'll look at tonight in this chapter. 1 Samuel chapter 12. The first thing that we see in responding to God's will for your life is this, and that is we're to be doing His will. That's what we're going to learn from Samuel tonight. We're going to be doing His will. That is our first step in responding to the will of God in our life. And the first thing we see here in verses 1 to 3 in regards to doing His will is that Samuel's character was a witness. It says, "Now Samuel said to all Israel, 'Indeed, I have heeded your voice in all that you said to me, and I have made a king over you. And now here is the king walking before you. I am old and gray-headed, and look, my sons are with you. I have walked before you from my childhood unto this day, and here I am. Witness against me before the Lord and before His anointed. Whose ox," Samuel says, "have I taken? Whose donkey have I taken?" Meaning stolen. "Or whom have I cheated? Whom have I oppressed? Or from whose hand have I received any bribe with which to blind my eyes? I will restore it to you." Samuel's old now. He's fading away. The previous chapters have led us from his mother going to the temple to dedicate this little boy to God. Now he's an old man. He has been faithful. Listen, has he been perfect? No. Did he fail? It seemingly appears that he failed at handing over a very reverent and holy lifestyle to his children. His boys didn't seem to get it. They were ornery and godless boys. Now Samuel is old. He's gray-headed, he's about time to pass, and he's saying, listen, here's the deal. Have I defrauded any of you? He wants to set the record straight. Doing God's will, responding to God's will means that we're going to do God's will. Can you write that down? If I'm responding to God, number one, I'm going to be doing His will. What does that mean? It means this: character would be lived out in our lives. Character. Listen, nobody's born with character. A little baby doesn't come out and say, my, look at, he's got the blue eyes and he's got his mother's nose and he's got his father's character. That doesn't happen. Character is instilled often through hardship, difficulty, if not hard work, being committed. Character can be gotten in many ways, but character must be gotten. The thing is, nobody likes to obtain character. It's a rough road. Kids in school, children, students, teachers are to be committed to instilling character into these kids. Parents, there's times when your kids are in need, and we've got the resources to fix that need, don't we? But we don't do it. We back off and say, now, no, you can go do this. Go do this on your own. You know, one of the famous things is this. You know, if your kid's involved in sports or whatever, they bring home, and it's that time of the year, you know, they bring home all the chocolate bars that they've got to sell. Now, you can either A, have your kid go door to door and sell the chocolate bars, or you can whip out $200 and buy all the chocolate bars from them. And a lot of parents do that because they don't want to deal with the time issue of taking their kid around the block or whatever it is. Some parents just do that because, oh, I don't want my kid to be going door to door. That's kind of like low life. Wait a minute. Forget that thinking. You could be instilling in them tremendous character by them having to go door to door. Think about it. So, well, how can that help? Number one, they'll be thinking differently the next time somebody knocks on your door who's going door to door selling umbrellas or chocolates or whatever they sell. But sometimes Junior or Little Miss needs to understand that not everything's handed to them, that they need to actually put an effort out. And when kids hear this, they go, oh man, that's satanic counsel. That is, that is not from God. I don't receive that. But yet a parent knows there comes a point in time when a kid's got to make their own bed. A kid's got to get out there and get that job. We may have enough money to pay for their insurance or to pay for their gasoline, but we've got to say, I'm not going to pay for your gas. You got to make this work. What are we doing to them when we do that? We're preparing them for the real world. They're going to be better people if we do it. Man, I remember my dad telling me, and I thought, he has absolutely flipped his lid. He's out of his mind. And now that I'm a parent, I say that to my kids, and I can hear my dad's voice in my ears. I sound like my dad. And God wants to do that same thing with us. He wants to instill character into us. And Samuel was a man of character. And he's saying, hey, okay, listen, I'm an old man. I have led you guys all the way through. By the way, for the record, have I defrauded anybody? Have I robbed you at all? Very powerful. He says to them, indeed, I've heeded your voice when you request and asked of me to have a king. That's back in 1 Samuel chapter 8. The people, listen, were not to have a king that way. In Deuteronomy, through Moses, God spoke and said that when Israel has a king, this is how it's to be. The people of Israel right now with Samuel, when they asked for a king, it was not that way. Remember, they said, we want a king like all the other nations. We want a king who will go out and fight all of our battles for us. God says, no. For you to have character, you fight your battles with me, dependent upon me. You don't send a king to fight your battles. There's no character in that. So when they requested, oh, give us a king that he may fight all of our battles so we can be like all the other nations of the world, that was the wrong request. It wasn't wrong that they had a king. It's how and why they wanted a king. And Samuel is saying witness and character is everything on this. And he's also saying that he's been the messenger. That's what he's saying. He's represented God to them. Consider Samuel's character. Ministry today, people, ministry needs the character of Samuel. How many people have been burned by churches, burned by deacons, burned by elders, burned by pastors, where there's no character? Does that mean that character is always going to be pleasant? No, sometimes character, when it's true, can also be in the area of discipline. Nobody wants that. But character is the person, like Samuel, who's leading. Can you point to Bible verses that substantiate that person's witness? Samuel is saying, look at my life, look at the will and the word of God, and see that there's character. And he's laying before them a great witness that we need to mimic. Paul was of this heart. Paul the Apostle in Philippians 4:8, he says, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just and pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything that's praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. What a witness, huh? Paul the Apostle said, hey, and listen, I think this is God's will for all of our lives. Paul says, hey, everybody, Calvary Chapel, what you've heard come out of my mouth, what you've seen me do as you observe my life, the things that I've done, how I live, you do that. And if you do that, the God of all peace will be with you.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Responding to God's Will. It's a look at 1 Samuel chapter 12. And we'll continue with more of this fascinating verse-by-verse journey through this Old Testament book of 1 Samuel on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, our website is, of course, realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. That's where you can keep in touch with all things regarding this ongoing radio outreach. And, of course, that could include a subscription to Words to the Wise. That's Pastor Jack's weekly devotional that we really think you're going to like, and you can get it in your email inbox. We keep getting more and more subscribers to Words to the Wise, and they just seem to really love and appreciate these devotionals. And a lot of folks are emailing their sentiments to us. Here's what just one Words to the Wise subscriber wrote just recently. Pastor Jack, thank you. Your devotions and scripture on Facebook are like water to the thirsty. Well, thank you so much for writing that. Pastor Jack loves to get these words of encouragement. And I like them too, by the way. Subscribe to Words to the Wise. Just visit us at realradioactive.org and click on the button on the right there that says devotional. realradioactive.org. Well, it is Friday, and that means it's time for another Ask Pastor Jack segment here on Real Radio. Have you got a question? Send it to askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. Now, we've had quite a number of Ask Pastor Jack questions lately, asking about, specifically, devotions. Here's another one. Dear Pastor Jack, what might you suggest for a template for devotions?
My template is this. This works for me. I like to sit alone with God from 4 to 5, silence, nothing, nobody, nothing. From 5 to 6, I like to read through the Bible like a chunk. Why? Because on Wednesdays and Sundays, I usually go a few verses at a time, so I'm getting that stuff in a few verses at a time. For me, for that hour's period of time, and I have no set rule, I might go through in my chunk, I'll call it my chunk reading, it might be an hour that I only get through one chapter. But most often in that time, and I read very slow, you guys. I'm a very slow reader. Thank God, though, I'm able to remember everything I read pretty much. I just read really slow. If I read fast, I don't remember nothing. So for me, in that hour's time, I know I can get down anywhere between 8 to 10 chapters in an hour of any given book, okay? That works for me. And then that's 4 to 5, 5 to 6, 6 to 7 is a time for me where I'm praying private. I know I'm gonna be meeting with Lisa she usually wakes up a little bit before 7. And so shortly after 7, then we'll come in and I'll come into the bedroom and we'll do the 1 year Bible reading, the thing I told you about earlier. So the last hour for me is me talking to God about and praying. And then I hope in that hour's time, 30 minutes talking to God, 30 minutes listening. And when it's listening, it's the things that I'm, Lord, this issue's up, or this thing's come up. Do we do this? Do we go left or do we go right? What is that? And so I go through these things. Now, what's fun about this, you guys? You see, how do you do that?
It's easy to do it that way when you have been in the Word ahead of time. Because the Word, I find, shapes my prayer time. Because you know that feeling where you get, well, let's pray. Okay, what am I going to pray about? When you go to the Word first, you'll never lack. And when all else fails, I've showed you guys this before, it's so great. When all else fails, now don't try this at home, you could get hurt. When all else fails and you don't know what to pray, how about this? Let's say you're reading through a book or you just go like this, okay? And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to another, and it shall break in pieces and consume all other earthly kingdoms, and it shall last forever. Lord, I ask you right now, Jesus, prepare me for your coming kingdom. Lord, your kingdom's going to last forever. I pray that you give me the discernment to recognize kingdoms of this world that are dangerous to your kingdom, kingdoms that are opposed to your kingdom. That would also, Lord, mean leaders and people who are of that persuasion or this persuasion. God, give me insight, and Lord, give me a heart for forever. You see what I'm saying? All of a sudden, it's John 15:7, Jesus said, if my word abides in you, you may ask what you will, and my Father will give it unto you, for herein is my Father glorified. The key is, if you don't know what to do, pray the Bible. It's fun, and it actually develops your prayer life that way. So what I just chronology-wise gave to you, that's what works for me. You say, yeah, but if you get up that time, how late do you stay up? The latest nights I stay up are Wednesday nights. Wednesday nights. I mean, I'm boring. Because I get up early, so if I'm not asleep by 10 o'clock, you know, I just might as well stay up, is the way I think. It's like, oh, it's almost morning for me. But that's me. It'd be different for you. But that's how I'm wired. I personally, I'm just wired in such a way that if I am not up to see the light come, the morning come, I feel like I've missed the day. I may still be in my jammies. I still feel like I missed the day because I feel like I've not gotten suited up. I could have a suit on and I still don't feel clothed. But that's me. Please don't judge anything that you're doing that works with what I'm doing that works for me. And can I say this? I've been asking you to get the 1-year Bible for January 1st. Let me give you a big breath of fresh air. When you start on January 1st, and you do like 3 days, and then you miss January 4th because you're sick or you had to catch a plane or your dog's sick or whatever, do you understand something? Because I've done all these things. I've lived through all this kind of stuff, and I'm done with it. Most of us give up on our devotional life by January 31st because we feel so defeated because we missed 3 days or 4 days or 5 days. You can never catch up. As a church, will you do this with us? If you miss January 6th through the 9th, and now it's January 10th, start reading in January 10th. Get with us. That's the rule. Just be with us. Yeah, but I missed 2 weeks. I was in vacation. Who cares? God knew that. Just start again today. And you'll never be defeated in your devotional practice. Look, I spent years defeated. I hated devotions. As soon as I started one, I gave up. It failed. It was pathetic.
All right, that's Pastor Jack and our Friday segment here on Real Radio called Ask Pastor Jack. We do try to get as many Ask Pastor Jack questions as we can here on Real Radio. Email your question to askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. You may hear the answer from the pulpit. You might get it right here when Pastor Jack steps into the studio. askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. Our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J., and Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.